I'm sure most of us here will remember the fantasy movie, The Wizard of Oz. Remember that movie? If you could recall, in that movie, the little girl Dorothy, who got missing, eventually got to the place where she found the Good Witch. At the very end of that movie, Dorothy was instructed by the witch to tap her feet 3 times and to say, "There is no place like home." And Dorothy did that, found herself in the house. If you remember, when the parents came to Dorothy and the neighbors came to see her, and everybody was like, "You have been missing," Dorothy said, "It doesn't matter what had happened, I missed all of you. But the important thing now is that I am home. I am back home." And she kept repeating, "There is no place like home. There is no place like home. There is no place like home." This line, "There is no place like home," or this expression, kind of strikes me in a very unique way as I read the story of the prodigal son, or the prodigal father, as we heard in the gospel. The question is, what is home? That's the first thing here. The dictionary definition of home is that it is a place of residence or domicile. But for me, there is more to that. Home is not just a place of domicile. It's not just a place of a residence. Home, for me, is a place that offers safety, that offers peace of mind, that offers acceptance, that offers shelter and genuine love. Home is a place that pulls you when you are away, a place that you feel attracted to, that you miss when you are away from it. This must have been the experience of the prodigal son on his return from his self-inflicted exile in the gospel of today. The problem with the story of the prodigal son, and I want to put it out, the problem with the story of the prodigal son with regard to our homily is, what aspect do you talk about? There's a lot of themes, a lot of topics that can come out from the prodigal son's story. You can look at it from the point of view of the prodigal son squandering the money and disappearing. You can look at it from the point of view of his return. You can look at it from the point of view of the great love of the father. You can look at it from the resistance of the older brother. You can look at it from the point of view of the people whom Jesus is communicating this message to, the Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priests, whom he is trying to draw their attention to the ultimate love of the Father, especially for those considered as not worthy of God's love. The father in this story is a huge figure. It is the prodigal son that offends the father. And that is where we need to understand the profundity of this love that is welcoming this boy back. "Father, share what you have and give it to me." So for this man, this young man, it is time to part ways with the father. So it's time. It's like telling the father, you are done. I'm done with you. Your time is up with me. It's like telling him, before long, you're going to die. You're going to die, so give me what belongs to me and let me find my way. But the father does not count all this. It is the father's joy of searching for this boy that is so eloquent in this reading. And that is why, thinking about home in this case, the compassionate embrace, the kisses from the father, putting the ring on this young man's fingers and sandals on his feet, all make the prodigal son's story compelling anytime it is told. He enjoys a feast, even though in our own human assessment, he doesn't merit that feast. He enjoys a party that the father throws for his homecoming. So God's plan in this story is for us and makes us to realize that he wants to restore us to his love. And St. Paul hints on that in the second reading of today when he says, the old have passed away. The old things have passed away. In Christ Jesus, behold, we have new things that have come and new things that God himself focuses on in our lives. In Christ, we are truly safe. We are cherished. We are appreciated. We are celebrated. That is the message of the prodigal son. In Christ Jesus, we have our home. Each time I read this story, there's this song that I love by C.C. Winans. The title of that song is Mercy Said No. Mercy Said No. And the lyric of that song, the lyrics say, no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. And he says, thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. That is the prodigal son's story. It starts in a very pathetic way, a negative plot, which gradually unveils, opening up and exposing the dangers of addiction to sensual things in his life, addiction to selfishness, greed that the younger son manifests. His situation even further degenerates as he goes away. So he begins to face a tough time after he has squandered the money. Misery, isolation, distancing from family, and eventually shame. The weaker side of this prodigal son takes over him. His vision is messed up, and he ends up in a life of dissipation, to the point of being subjected from abundance to a place where he was looking to be fed with scraps that fell from food meant for pigs. And you know the concept of pigs in the old ancient Jewish time. So he's degrading. He went from being a prince to being a slave because he succumbed to weakness. Scripture says that this man had freely spent everything. The prodigal son had freely spent everything. So the prodigal son, sadly, is away from home. And this story, within our own Catholic context, brings up a very serious question, the issue of mortal sin in the Catholic teaching. Sin can be mortal or venial. A venial sin does not kill. A mortal sin kills. And if you paid attention to that reading, mark the word freely. Freely chose to go away. He freely spent everything. So he makes a bad choice. And he is willing to consent to his action. That is what makes his sin grievous. He freely makes the choice and freely stays within the context of the action that he had taken. To categorize a sin as mortal means it is a grave matter. And in that, we talk about full knowledge of the action and consent of the will. And mortal means deadly. Deadly sin. A sin that leads to death. The prodigal son willingly offends the father in a grave manner, wastes his hard-earned money and property, sleeps with prostitutes, drinks excessively, indulges in laziness, and exhibits selfishness. He finds himself in what we call today a big mess. He's in a big mess. But the message in the story is mostly about the father's love. In spite of the prodigal son's mistake, the Bible tells us that the father is moved with compassion, moved with compassion. He is welcomed back home into a loving embrace. God is able to forgive all sins. God wants us to be reconciled with him and to be restored back to grace, our home. What is special about the prodigal son's story is the great lesson that we learn from it. While talking about sin and offense and forgiveness and reconciliation, the prodigal son comes back to his senses. That's number one. Number two, he expresses deep sorrow for his sins. Number three, he makes a firm decision, firm purpose of amendment. That's what we call it. He makes a firm decision, resolves to go back to the father. And finally, he confesses his sins. I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I do not deserve to be called your son again. That's a huge confession. That's a big step. That's a big step in his life. But what the father does teaches us a greater lesson. Do you know that the father would have rejected him? The father would have refused. The father would have cut him out. Okay, you're done, and I'm done with you. Is that not correct? He has everything and every reason to do that. What if the father had done that? Home would not be home anymore for him. In this story, the image of God's forgiveness is presented to us, the divine mercy of God as our Father. We experience this love in the sacrament of reconciliation. We encounter our Father. And that is why every priest is encouraged and should be the image of this Father, representing the image of God's love and compassion, cherishing penitence and helping them to go joyfully from the confessional anytime that encounter happens. It's a great encounter. We must help the penitent to experience confession as homecoming. We must help the penitents to look forward to celebrating the most beautiful feast, the feast of the Blessed Eucharist, to eat the most fattened calf that God himself has given to us, to participate in this great feast. We must lead those who come to confession joyfully to the love of the Father. Just yesterday, Friday, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, invited the whole world to join in the prayer for the consecration of Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I don't know if any of you was able to watch that, the live stream on television. A profound moment during that service is the celebration of the Sacrament of Reconciliation, where you see priests all over the St. Peter's Basilica hearing confession and people surging and going to confess their sins. That is one great moment. But what struck me so significantly was what the Holy Father himself did. Pope Francis removed his vestment and went to a priest for confession. It was so touching to watch him kneel at the confessional and confess his sins. For me, it was a moment to appreciate the love of God in this sacrament and how much each and every one of us is invited to appreciate that homecoming experience. The prodigal father in today's gospel says to his older son, who comes back grudgingly, says to him, my son, that's the word. So he's welcoming both of them. My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and has been found. How much could those words be spoken through us to those around us? Was lost, now is found. That is homecoming. That is what it means to come back home. Let us celebrate with your brother. That's what he's saying, because there is no place like home. My dear friends, I want to remind you today that God is always searching for us, even in our sinful state. His mercy is so strong that he says no to our being lost in sin. God is not letting you slip away, notwithstanding how bad you might think the situation is. So my question for you is, have you ever seen yourself in the position of the lost son? Have you ever felt like you are getting lost, lost in confusion, lost in sin, lost in crisis, lost in a situation that you seem like you cannot control? Have you ever been taken over by your addiction, weighed down by your weakness, encumbered by shame, all flooded with guilt? Have you felt miserable, angry, frustrated because of things you did wrong in the past? Have you been tormented by your past that sometimes you feel ashamed of thinking about them? What would you say to the Father? What would you do? Come back home. The good news is that God's mercy is searching out for you. He is so widespread arms, waiting for you to have you back, waiting for you, looking forward, searching for you. And that is why sometimes you feel that restlessness in your heart. You want to push it away, but it's a hunger. That hunger is for the love of the Father that is already searching out for you. The moment of Lent is great. Today we celebrate this rejoice, Laetare Sunday. Rejoice, rejoice, because the Father's love is there for you. The Father's love is inviting you back. Rejoice because the Father's love is huge. Rejoice because the kiss of God in the Blessed Eucharist, the embrace of God in the sacrament of confession and reconciliation is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? The great Eucharistic feast is your feast, is your great party. Like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, tap your feet 3 times, like the prodigal son. Get back to your senses and reassure yourself that there is no place like home. Amen.